Turning God's Word this evening to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. The sermon tonight is focusing on what we are called to do as priests. Lord's Day 12, question and answer 32, but why art thou called a Christian? Because I'm a member of Christ by faith and partaker of His anointing, so that I may confess His name, that's prophet, which we considered already, and then, and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to Him. That's our focus tonight, and to focus on that, we consider the truth in Hebrews 13, especially verses 15 and 16. This is the Word of God in Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as becoming yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be unto you all. Amen. As I said, the focus is the words of the catechism that I read, but then also especially verses 15 and 16. I'd like to read those verses again. 15 and 16 of this chapter. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, but to do good
and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this morning, we had a picture of one of the great works of Jesus Christ as our high priest. As high priest, Christ performs especially two works. He performs the work of laying down his life as the perfect sacrifice for sin, and he performs the work of interceding on our behalf from his position at God's right hand in heaven. It's especially the former that we had a clear picture of in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which we celebrated this morning. In the last sermon from the Heidelberg Catechism, we took note of those two outstanding works of Jesus Christ as high priest by considering the truth of God's word in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. In the sermon this evening, we consider what it means that we, as Christians, are priests as well. Jesus Christ, as our high priest, offered a sacrifice. And the calling that we have as Christians is to offer sacrifices as well. The sacrifices are fundamentally different. Jesus' sacrifice was a sacrifice that atoned for sin. We cannot, in any way, shape, or form, offer a sacrifice that atones for the sins that we have committed. But yet, as Christians who are those who possess the office of all believer, who are therefore priests, we offer sacrifices. And in Hebrews chapter 13, the nature of those sacrifices is very clearly set forth. One of the other passages that speaks to this is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'd like to read those verses right now. Our focus is going to be Hebrews 13, but this is the one other passage that the Heidelberg Catechism refers to in its explanation of this truth. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's one of the main passages that teaches us what it means that we are priests. Our focus tonight is on Hebrews chapter 13. And in Hebrews 13, 15 and 16, we have two main ways in which we go forth in our lives offering sacrifices to God. One of them, as verse 15 says, is by offering to God the fruit of our lips, which is the giving thanks to His name. And then the second one, which is recorded in verse 16, is that we go forth doing good and communicating to others. And the idea there, as we'll see, is giving to others. And the Bible in that verse says that that is a sacrifice to God that is well-pleasing to Him. That's our focus tonight. What it means for us as Christians to be priests in these two ways. And that, by the way, as well, is the proper way to go forth from the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this morning. This is how we show that we are a thankful people for what we celebrated this morning in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Offering yourselves as priests is the theme of the sermon, or as I have it here, better, offering sacrifices of praise as priests. 3 points of the sermon are the following. Let's consider the meaning of that first, and then the manner as it's set forth in these verses. And then I change the third point to the possibility of this. The meaning, and then the manner, and then the possibility. What is our lives all about, Christians? What's the purpose of our life here on this earth? That's a really good question to ask. It's a good question to ask regularly. Why are we here right now? What has God put us here on this earth to do in the most basic sense of the word in our lives right now? I can tell you what the answer to that is not. What our lives are not about is making as much money as we possibly can. It's not about making as much money as we can for the first 40 years of our work so that eventually we can get to the point of retirement and then enjoy life as we end our days here on this earth. It's not about what you wear. It's not about watching and following as much of March Madness as you can in the following 3 weeks. There's all kinds of things that this life is not about. And now all of those things are not necessarily wrong in their own right, but they don't answer the question, what is our purpose here on this earth? There's many ways to answer that question. A very simple way is exactly what we have in these verses before us tonight. In light of what God has done for us through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is our purpose. By Him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. People of God, that is why we are here. And that is what God has worked in us to do. And that answers the question of what our life is all about. In all that we do, we are to offer sacrifices of praise to God. These comments that I'm making right now emphasize for us the positive purpose of our salvation. We may not, as we think about our salvation personally, only focus on the negative. And what I mean by that negative is that our salvation is a deliverance from sin and guilt and death. That is true. But God does that work of delivering us from sin, guilt, and death so that this might be true in us as Christians. He does that so that in all of our life, in all of our relationships, in all of our work, in all of our activity, in all of our speaking, in all of our life together, we might offer ourselves as sacrifices of praise to God. This is what your life is about. When you wake up tomorrow and go to school, children and young people, you are to offer yourself as a sacrifice of praise to God. When you are in the home with your children tomorrow, mothers, it's all about this, that the way you live and the way that you speak are so many sacrifices of praise offered to God. When you go to work tomorrow, fathers and husbands, the same is true for you. This is our purpose, that we live for the sole reason of praising and glorifying God. And that's what we do as priests. As priests, we do as this passage says, we offer sacrifices of praise to God. In verse 15 of Hebrews 13, a certain sacrifice is referred to. And in the Old Testament, there were all sorts of different types of sacrifices that the people would offer to God. Verse 13 is a reference to one of those types of sacrifices, and it's recorded for us in Leviticus chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. This was one of the types of sacrifices in the Old Testament that they would offer to God. And in Hebrews chapter 13, it's referred to as the sacrifice of praise. Well, that's a really quote of Hebrews, or rather Leviticus 7, 12 and 13, where it's referred to as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Notice that in verses 12 and 13 of Leviticus 7. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, of fine flour fried.
Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings.
One of the types of sacrifices that they were to offer in the Old Testament were sacrifices of thanks. And they were done in this way, offering certain types of cakes and grains and breads to be used in the temple service of God. The people to whom the apostle was writing in the book of Hebrews needed to know that the Old Testament civil and ceremonial laws were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jews, they no longer, because of the work of Christ, needed to do those types of things that God prescribed in the Old Testament for His people. But the point that the apostle makes in our chapter by referring specifically to those Old Testament sacrifices and identifying what they are now for us in the New Testament is to tell those Christians, we still offer sacrifices. We don't do it in the same way as they did in the Old Testament. That's fulfilled in the work of Jesus. But yet, as New Testament believers, we are priests who offer sacrifices to God. And we offer sacrifices of praise or sacrifices of thanks. And the text in Hebrews 13 explains how, as New Testament Christians, we do that. We do that by offering to God the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, and by doing good and communicating to others. Let's focus on that first one in verse 14 or 15. The way as priests that we offer sacrifices of praise and thanks to God is by giving to Him the fruit of our lips. And that's identified as giving thanks to His name. The fruit of our lips. The word fruit is used in the text. And there's significance to the word fruit. It highlights a couple of important truths for us. Number one, by the use of the word fruit, it leads us to see that it is something that it comes forth from something else. It is produced. That's what fruit is. It comes forth from a particular source. And the passage says it is the fruit of our lips, obviously meaning the words that come out of our mouths. But that use of the word fruit and that idea of coming forth from a source leads us to ask the question, is there a deeper source from which the fruit of our lips comes forth? And the answer to that is there is. Our words that we speak are not just the fruit of what comes out of our mouths, our lips, but it is the fruit of our lips that has a deeper source, ultimately, beloved, our hearts. Jesus powerfully makes that clear in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Matthew 12, verse 34, referring to the unbelieving Pharisees at that time, he says in this text, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It doesn't arise just in this organ of our body, our mouths and our lips. The words that we speak are ultimately the fruit that arises out of our hearts. And now you understand why this is the sacrifice that we offer to God. God desires that we have hearts that are consecrated to Him. And remember that that's the main work of a priest, to consecrate one to God. Our hearts are to be consecrated to God. And our hearts show themselves by the words that come out of our mouths. And so God says, speak. And when you speak, let that be a sacrifice of praise to me. The other noteworthy point in the second place by the use of the word fruit is that it is in the singular.
Notice that. It's not the fruits of our lips, but the fruit of our lips. And the significance of that is that it leads us to look at the words that we speak collectively as a whole, over against the idea that there are specific times where, okay, I'm going to offer a fruit of my lips to God right now, and then I don't do this for a while, and then at another time, now I will offer another fruit of my lips that arises out of my heart. The use of the singular, the fruit of our lips, leads us to consider all of our speaking as that which is a sacrifice of praise to God. It's certainly true that there are specific times, specific special times that we offer to God the fruit of our lips as a sacrifice of praise to Him. But by the use of the singular, we as Christians should consider all of our speaking. The times when we are talking specifically about God and Christ and the times when we are not. Even those times as the sacrifice of praise to God. The text identifies the content of the fruit of our lips. It's the end of verse 15. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. That word giving thanks in the text is the word that most often in the New Testament is translated confess or profess. Offer to God sacrifices of praise continually, the fruit of your lips giving a profession to His name is the literal reading of that end of the verse. But here, it's translated as thanks. And that's because the way in which it's constructed at the end of this verse is so different than it normally is in the New Testament. Typically, when that word confess is used in the New Testament, it's used this way, that we are to confess truth or to confess the Lord. It's different here. Here it is, give confession to the name of God. And notice the difference there. It doesn't say confess the name. We're called to do that. That was our sermon on being prophets. But it's giving a confession to the name of God. And the idea is that when you give a confession to something or about something, what you are doing by those words is praising and exalting and honoring that thing concerning which you are giving a confession about. And that is why it's translated as thanks. When we give a confession to the name of God, what we are doing by the words that we speak are exalting and praising God, and by that showing our thanks to God. What does this mean on a very practical level? It means that as Christians, we need to be very conscious of what comes out of our mouths, understanding that it is coming from the source, which is our hearts. And it certainly is referring to the specific times that we offer these sacrifices of praise to God, special times that we do this, prayer, singing, confessing God in worship as we are called to do. That's especially what we are called to do. Worship God and praise Him and thank Him in this way. And so as believers, let us be doing that in our everyday lives and on the Lord's Day, in our prayers to God and in our singing to God during the week. We need to think about them in these terms. These are my sacrifices of praise that I offer to God. We go to the Scriptures during the week and we read about who God is. And then we pray to Him. And it's not just a prayer of, God, give me this, give me that, give me what I need in my life. But we spend time reading about God and then responding to God and worshiping and praising Him by the words that we speak, because that's an expression to God what is in our hearts. We can broaden this out, that all of our speaking is really a sacrifice of praise to God. Yes, we have our times of prayer and singing and worship, but let's be Christians who litter our language with the exaltation of God. How often do we speak about Him, especially in our homes with our children? Let's be a people that exalt God with the fruit of our lips all the time in our language, so that we're constantly bringing especially our children to the knowledge of God and the awe of God. Think about the world in which we live and the opportunity that we have to do that. If you were to go to the nicest art museum in the world, you would walk into that art museum, and what you would do is not talk about what you did last week, but you would look at the art and you would take notice of the art and you would talk about the beautiful pieces of art that is before you. You're there, you see it, it's present. Beloved, here we are in the world that God has created. At every turn, we see the handiwork of God, giving us opportunity to praise and honor Him with the fruit of our lips by the way that we speak. And again, I think especially of our children and showing them the wonder of who God is. And as Christians, to put that into our everyday language so that we're always, by the fruit of our lips, exalting God and praising His name. So that we eat a dinner and it's a different dinner than the day before, and we talk about what an abundance that God has given us and the variety of foods that God has given us. Isn't the God who created this amazing? You go outside and you look at all the different trees and their size and their beauty. And now, especially when everything comes to life, son, daughter, what an amazing creation God has made. Your son or your daughter gets hurt and you need to put a Band-Aid on their leg, and you say, your body is amazing. Look at how God made that body. It's going to heal. And guess what? You're going to get a body one day that'll never get hurt like this. It'll be your resurrected body. Simply working in our lives at letting the fruit of our lips and our everyday conversations be directed to God and the glory of His name, and especially with the things spiritual and the forgiveness of sins that we have in Jesus Christ. But we can broaden this out even more. The heart of it is prayer and singing and worship. But think even just of our everyday speech. How that is to be the fruit of our lips that confesses and give thanks to God. And you need to remember that in light of the first point that I made, that what we say arises out of the heart that God has given us. We need to just talk about life all the time, where it's not directly prayer or singing, it's not even directly a reference to God, but it's simply talking. But even that reveals our hearts, and therefore reveals whether or not we are consecrating our lives in their entirety of God. Simply ask the question, what do you talk about and how do you talk about it? Because when you're talking about the things of the world, or when you're talking about other people in a degrading way, that's not consecrating your words and life as a sacrifice of praise to God. But when in our everyday lives, our speech is about things that are holy, and the manner in which we talk is in a godly way, and when we bring up other people in our language, it's not to speak negatively about them or to be critical of them or to tear them down, but it's always to lift them up and to show how, in a positive way, that we talk about other people in the church. Simply our speech, which arises from our hearts, which are to be consecrated to God, are sacrifices of praise and thanks to God. The second way in which we offer our sacrifices of praise to God is found in verse 16, where it says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not." And then, just to show that these two are our sacrifices, it says at the end, "For with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Now here, what we see is that the sacrifices we offer to God are not just what we say and what we do in relationship to God. That was the first main point that I just made. All of the words that we speak, especially those directed to God, are sacrifices of praise. Now what we need to remember, and this is what this verse teaches us, is that our sacrifice of praise to God is also manifested in the way that we live with each other. So that it's possible for us to speak to God praises, but then completely neglect other people and other areas of our lives where God says, no, serve me in that too, because those are sacrifices of praise as well. This is the second table of the law. The first point that I had made was the first table, our relationship to God. And now God says, when you serve and do good to others, those are so many sacrifices of praise and thanks to me. By serving one another, you are showing your praise and your thanks to me. And that's the point of verse 16. Just to clarify what this means, but to do good and to communicate. Our doing good is a sacrifice of praise to God, and the good that this text is especially referring to is what is referred to as communicate. Communicate there is not referring to the words that we speak to each other. Communicate there is the word for sharing or fellowship. And the idea is that when we communicate to others, we give to others. It's referring to the activity of helping and serving and giving to other believers in the church. That's our sacrifice of praise to God. When you put money in the collection plate for the benevolent fund and for other causes in God's kingdom, that is a sacrifice of praise and thanks to God. When you help a believer in the church by giving your time and energy or giving a gift to them anonymously because you know they need help or whatever it is, that's not just to them and for their good. That's done with an eye on God. But the key here is that we, when we serve one another, think about those acts as praises and sacrifices to God. There's all sort of communicating that takes place in the world, all sorts of giving that goes back and forth where goods transfer from one hand to another, but it's not all doing good and communicating as a well-pleasing sacrifice to God. Not at all. This is what takes place in the church by believers when they consciously put money in a collection plate or serve their fellow believers. And when they do that, they are doing it out of their love and their thanks and their praise to God. The text teaches us the manner in which we are to do these two sacrifices. A manner with respect to the first one of the words that we speak, and a manner with respect to the second one, the doing good and communicating. With respect to the first point, it says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. It's a striking word when you think about it, isn't it? This is something that we don't turn on and off in our lives. But as believers, when we think about the words that we speak, all of them, in all of our life long, must be a continual sacrifice of praise to God. That's true for a couple of reasons. Number one, God is worth this praise all the time. Consider who God is. Creator of the heavens and the earth. Creator of you and me. Redeemer of us from our sin and guilt through the work of Jesus Christ. When you meditate upon the wonder and the greatness of God, you're led to understand that this certainly is worthy of His name. And so we need to examine ourselves this evening. Yes, we examined ourselves in light of the Lord's Supper, but we examine ourselves with respect to all of the sermons and the Word of God that we hear. We need to use this word in this passage right here to cause us to reflect upon whether or not this is true in our lives. Are there times in our lives when we simply don't offer the fruit of our lips as a sacrifice of praise to God in all of the ways that we talked about? Prayer life right now, continually, which makes you think of the other passages in the New Testament that speak of praying without ceasing. Are we praying? Are we praying regularly so that that specific sacrifice of praise that we offer to God is evident in our lives every single day, morning, noon, and eve, as we heard from the psalm not so long ago? We are offering sacrifices of praise to God. Or those examples that I used earlier. Do we need to work at incorporating into our everyday speech words of praise to God? And again, I reiterate it for a purpose in the home with our children. We want our children to understand the wonder and the awe of God. And part of that comes through our specific instruction, but it also comes through the excitement and the awe that is in our hearts and the way that we praise Him in our everyday language. So that it's not just to our children, don't do this, don't do that, and it's always law, 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 and it turns sometimes into legalism for them. But let us in our life show praise to God by the way that we speak about God in our everyday lives. Maybe that's what we need to think about. And this does take conscious thought. How can I incorporate these things into my everyday speech better? And then, yes, we should examine simply our everyday speech. When I'm with my friends, what are we talking about? Would God be pleased? High schoolers, ask this. Would God be pleased with the way that we're talking when we're together as friends and what we're talking about and how we're talking about them? And all of us as adults, too. And when I go to work, how am I speaking with my coworkers? Is my language that which just kind of falls into line with the language of my coworkers? Or simply by the way that I speak and what I speak about, is God praised and thanked as we strive to praise Him in our language? Continual sacrifice of praise to God. And we know that this is an area of self-examination because we know very clearly that what I just described there isn't always true for us. We all fall short of this, and that's why we need to hear that God is worthy of a continual fruit of our lips as a sacrifice of praise to Him. The other reason is that God has delivered us from our sin and guilt. God is worthy of this simply because of who He is as God, but now think about this in light of our sin. What is continual in our life due to our sinful natures that cleave to us? What is continual in our life is the presence of sin. And that means every single day as Christians, we drive ourselves to the cross of Jesus Christ for forgiveness. And what's interesting, in Leviticus chapter 7, the thank offering of which we read comes immediately after the trespass offering, where the offering was for the sins that they committed. And beloved, as long as every single day we are going to the cross of Calvary on account of our sin, the fruit of that is exactly this, a continual sacrifice of praise and thanks with the fruit of our lips to God, even within the same prayer that we offer to God, where we go to God and we ask for forgiveness daily. And the fruit of that is that we offer a sacrifice of praise and thanks to God. In light of the constant presence of sin, and as long as we are living close to Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary at the heart and center of our lives, the fruit of that will be a continual praise and thanks to God. Now we move to verse 16. The manner in which we do that is faithfully. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, the apostle says. In other words, be diligent and be faithful in doing good and communicating, sharing, giving to fellow believers as your sacrifice of praise to God. Clearly, this was something that these saints needed to hear. There was a forgetting or a neglect of serving one another in these ways in the church. And so Paul writes them, don't forget that how you live towards each other is a reflection of your praising and thanking God. Don't forget, don't neglect that area in your life. Be faithful in doing this. And that's the word to us this evening. It's easy to forget. Forgetting is passive. It doesn't take very much work to forget. It takes a lot of work to remember and to be diligent. And part of that is hearing the Word of God concerning it as we do this evening. And so, beloved, hear this Word of God. And don't forget to do good and communicate, to share, to give. And remember this. This is especially where we need to not forget, to be diligent, that we do it as a sacrifice of praise and thanks to God. How many times have we put money in the collection plates without really even thinking about what we're doing as a sacrifice of thanks to God? How many times do we give and help others without really even thinking about doing this for God? The answer to those questions is probably many times, probably hundreds of times we've put money in there without really thinking. Let's not forget to do it as a sacrifice of praise and thanks to God. And one of the ways to help us with this is to do all things prayerfully, so that when we give and when we prepare to give on Saturday evening or on Sunday morning, or even while we're sitting here in the actual act of giving, that we don't just do it. And in our life together, we don't just help each other, but consciously, through our thinking and words and prayer, we are doing it in our love and in our praise and in our thanks to God. The possibility that we go forth in this way as priests offering these sacrifices to God is only Jesus Christ. Notice how verse 15 begins. By Him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. The only way that we as priests do these things, and then as we'll see from the end, do it in a way that God is well pleased by them, is that they are by or through Jesus Christ. Our sacrifices of thanks to God are only through Jesus Christ because He is the only way to God. Ask that question in the first place. How do we have access to God in light of our sin, in light of the fact that we are mere creatures on this earth? The only way that we have a right even to say that I have a sacrifice, every word I say when I give to others, the only way that we can even go to God and bring that is because of the work of Jesus Christ, who He said is the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by Me. Our access to God so that we can bring sacrifices to Him of praise and thanks are through the work of Jesus, who destroyed the barrier of sin by His death on the cross and resurrection from the grave, so that here we are this evening, sinners, creatures of this earth, but yet have access to God and can bring a sacrifice of praise and thanks to Him. Our sacrifices of praise and thanks are only through Jesus as well, because that is the power out of which they arise. We asked the question a moment ago, how do we have access to God to even bring these sacrifices? It's through the shed blood of Jesus. But now ask the question, how will we even do them? And the answer to that is only because of the work of Christ in us. It's by Him that we bring these. And we all know that to be true. Why would we get on our hands and knees and read the Scriptures and hear who God is and respond with words of praise and thanks? Why do we, in our everyday life, want to exalt God by what we say? Why are we going to give to the church and give to the church for the right reasons? Because we love God. It's not because that's in us to do that. We know that to be true. We know the selfishness that's in us. We know how we'd rather talk about all the things of this world than about God. The power that we go forth in to offer these sacrifices is only by the work of Jesus Christ. And remember who we are. We are Christians, which means that we are the anointed ones. And what are we anointed with? Really, who are we anointed with? The Spirit. And that Spirit is Christ's Spirit. And that Spirit in us is the power by which we go forth offering ourselves in our words, in our life with each other, as a sacrifice of thanks and praise to God. And it is a sacrifice of praise and thanks through and by Jesus. Also this, because they're still not perfect, and there's still a work of Jesus Christ that we need right now so that God is well pleased with what we offer to Him. What pleases God? What is God going to accept as a legitimate, genuine sacrifice that truly praises and expresses thanks to Him? It's that which is perfect, that which is without sin, undefiled. But we all know, as we've been hearing about the way in which we offer sacrifices to God, we all know that they are not perfect. Every prayer that we offer is not perfect. We get distracted. We don't say the words that we should say. We become selfish in our prayers. In our giving, it's not always done in the right way. We know that to be true, and that's why there is a work of Jesus, even now. And that is why this is through Him. For Jesus Christ in heaven takes the sacrifices of praise that we offer that are still defiled with sin, and He sanctifies them. He cleanses them based upon His shed blood, and He brings them to God as genuine, real sacrifices of thanks to Him. And that is why ultimately, as the end of the text says in verse 16, "For with them God is well pleased." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing to think about that when we, out of the power of faith and the work of Christ in us, even though they are defiled with sin, but yet we strive in our lives to offer these sacrifices, isn't that amazing that God truly, because of Christ, is well pleased with them? Ultimately, it is because of Christ that He is. But let that be an encouragement that when you go forth in this week, and when you pray to God, and when you guard your tongue, which is the expression of your heart, and when you praise Him, and when you communicate and give to others, and when you do it out of love for God, Jesus Christ in heaven sanctifies it and cleanses it. And God looks down upon it and is pleased with it. Because the grand purpose that He has for all things and the grand purpose that He has for every one of us who belong to Him, through that is accomplished. He is glorified. He is praised. He is exalted. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast anointed us with Thy Spirit. And we pray out of love and thanks that we may go forth as priests, offering the fruit of our lips as sacrifices of thanks and praise to Thee. And we pray that we might do the same by doing good to others. We thank Thee for Thy Word, and we pray for Thy blessing upon it as it was brought this evening. And receive Thy Word this evening, even as a sacrifice of praise to Thee. Be with us in the remainder of this evening and in this week to come. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.